Check podcasts.
The Center for Ocean Applied Sustainable Technologies, or COAST, welcomes you to COAST Talks, showcasing the people, ideas, businesses, and communities driving innovation in Pacific Canada's sustainable blue economy. Brought to you by the South Island Prosperity Partnership.
Welcome to the COAST Talks podcast, a deep dive into the innovations driving BC's blue economy. My name is Jason Goldsworthy and I'm the Executive Director of COAST, the Centre for Ocean Applied Sustainable Technologies. We are Pacific Canada's hub for the blue economy and we support our members to research, start up and scale sustainable ocean innovation. Today we're talking about that's a little bit something different. Our previous podcasts have been focused on technologies and the like in innovation. We're going to take a little turn here and talk about something out of Port Alberni, which we were introduced to in our last networking event in Port Alberni earlier this year. We're lucky to be joined by Daniel and Bushra Savard, who are the owners of the Swept Away Inn in Port Alberni. It's a one-of-a-kind bed and breakfast that originally served as a U.S. Navy minesweeper. They're joining us today from their new restaurant, which I'm sure you'll talk a little bit about, but we're here really to talk about the Swept Away Inn and how the blue economy is not just about technology, it's also about sustainable and circular type tourism and that sort of industry and how we can do better off in creating a lasting sustainable environment. So welcome, Daniel and Bushra. It's fantastic to have you on board and we look forward to a bit of a discussion.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having us.
No worries. First of all, give us a bit of an overview of the Swept Away Inn and also perhaps what inspired you to convert this, it's the MV Songhi, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what inspired you to convert this into a bed and breakfast?
Well, I think the idea originally was we wanted to do something unique and different, and do something on the water if we could, and have as little impact, as possible. And we just felt that coming up with this concept of having a bed and breakfast on the water would just be something unique and different. And then how we would go about marketing ourselves and also developed into not just a bed and breakfast, but it developed into a full-fledged Moroccan French restaurant on the boat as well.
And it is the MV Songhi, right? Maybe a little bit of a background to its history and how you came about with it, I guess.
Yeah, so it is the MV Songhi. It was actually originally called the Harrow, Strait, named after the Harrow Strait. And it actually went into the war as a minesweeper. Was a U.S. naval ship, and so once it finished those duties, it was four. There were eight of them, and four of them were sold into Canada to the Georgia Strait Towing Company. So then the boat worked as a deep sea mothership tugboat from Vancouver to Alaska back and forth for pretty much its whole life on the West Coast. Then we were looking for a boat. Actually, we originally were purchasing a 65-foot Beneteau sailboat. And then we realized that we couldn't get enough revenue out of it to make the numbers work. So then we went to look for bigger vessels. And I saw this little picture of a tugboat on a pop-up on my laptop. The bell rang, and I was like, yeah, that's exactly what something we need to go big like that. And then that's what we did. We searched. It took us 5 years to find the right vessel after looking at many, many, many. We were looking for a vessel that had all the staterooms above the deck line so that you weren't down into the hull and feeling claustrophobic and having to deal with fumes, that kind of thing. So we just found the perfect boat and away we went.
It's a pretty unique offering, and I think there's other examples of it around the world, but specifically in Port Alberni, it's a bit different to the other, I guess, accommodation, hospitality options. I guess maybe can you explain what else makes you different from the other hospitality options there and in terms of some of your operations as well?
Yeah, well, what we do unique is we offer something that no one else is offering, and it's in a different way because you would normally go to a hotel or a bed and breakfast and you get your key, you go to your room, and you know, that's how it goes. On the boat, it's a lot different. It's more family oriented. So we are interacting with the guests, you know, through the day and through the evening, where they're kind of living with our guests at the same time. So for them, they get this unique experience that they get to ask us all the questions. They get to talk about the area. They get to talk about the water. They get to talk about, you know, our ecosystem and the uniqueness that we have in Puerto Bernie for our microclimate. And that's kind of the really fun part about it.
Also, what's unique about it is the fact that we offer family-style dining that no one else offers. So people actually come together and sit together on our tugboat. And we, of course, we make Moroccan food, authentic Moroccan food, because of my background. We offer them a very unique experience and different from the others, for sure.
And we get a lot of guests that come from around, all over the world. I would say before COVID, 98% of our guests came from outside of North America, in countries like Germany and Switzerland and France, and countries that have a big vessel background in their history and their culture. And I think it's really attracted those kind of people that want to come and experience something like this.
And it's in a fantastic community, Port Alberni, and it's got a lot of history, especially related to the ocean economy, and there's a lot of connection points there. The port there is quite progressive and it's got innovation plans, and I think Canadian Maritime Engineering's there. Coastal Restoration Society is based out of there. There seems to be this little hub of ocean economy happening in Port Alberni. And I was just wondering, how do you collaborate with some of those organizations and others in Port Alberni to sort of feel part of the community and really raise the profile of Port Alberni in the worldwide context, as you brought up?
Yeah, well, one of the unique things is living on the boat, we're able to watch and see what's going on around us in the environment. You know, is there any spillage potential in the water? Is there any, you know, thing to be aware of? And we're kind of like the first alert. That's been a unique relationship because we're able to, we identify anything that's out of the ordinary that, you know, maybe shouldn't be happening or something we're not aware of. We report it right away, which has been a great working relationship with the ones you mentioned, but also for the Port Authority, which, you know, governs that whole entire waterfront.
And do you have, with your visitors, and you mentioned obviously COVID was a difficult point, but, you know, having 98% of your visitors from outside the country, is it an opportunity as well for you to showcase what the region does? And, you know, in respect of not just the blue economy, although we're very focused on the blue economy, but also the other areas of the area for the Alberni Valley and the Vancouver Island in general.
Yeah, so what we're able to do is really showcase the, you know, the things that we grow in the lower mainland here, or sorry, in the valley, the things that we grow and the things that we harvest from the sea. And that's been a really unique relationship because it's just so right up against them because they're sitting on top of the water and they're eating oysters that come from Effingham Inlet. And they're dining on everything that we do is farm to table. So everything's local, fresh, organic, and it's coming from the Alberni Valley, you know, from eggs to plants to
fish,
lambs, everything that we're doing. And that's been the unique thing is kind of like taking from the land and you know, using what we're growing naturally here. And it's, you know, one of the unique things we've done too is every year in the spring, we feed the salmon fry. So the baby salmon, we feed them for 2.5 to 3 weeks, usually do about 20,000 at a time. And it's something that we do to give back, which has been really, really exciting.
And I'm going to, just because of selfish reasons, because Coast is a blue economy initiative, so I'm going to focus back to the blue economy. So there's a couple of areas that I was intrigued with the story. One was the repurposing of a ship, which I think we know that derelict vessels become a problem. It's a problem in this coast. It's a problem around the world that derelict vessels need to be decommissioned or removed or somehow gotten rid of. I mean, this is an interesting opportunity where you've identified this as a way of repurposing that vessel. But there's also other stuff that you do in terms of sustainability, I believe, with water management. Can you maybe explain a little bit more about that? And also, I guess, was that a driver with repurposing this vessel? Is that, you know, well, it's going to go to waste anyway. Let's figure out another use for it.
Exactly. So that was a big motivator, was to be able to take an 80-year-old vessel and turn it into something to extend its life, to, you know, to build on its history and its heritage. So we really wanted to do that. And then the other thing that we've done is, because, you know, we feel so, you know, so in love with the ocean, so in love with the blue economy, we never wanted to have anything from our vessel contaminate the water. So one of the things that was instrumental in us deciding to do this and doing it where we did it was we were able to run everything into the city sewer system. Nothing leaves the boat into the water. Everything is taken off the boat. So that's been a really important piece to, you know, to make sure we're doing our part.
And I just want to talk about, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but you do run some projects and programs with guests, presumably, to talk about marine conservation and ties in there. Can you explain a little bit more about that one?
Yeah, well, so we don't really do programs, but what we do is we talk a lot about and educate about, you know, what's going on in the inlet, what's going on in the tidal waters, what to expect, how to act in the environment. We spend a lot of time on, you know, making sure that people are picking up their litter and they're not, you know, if they're venturing into our forests and into our trails, that they're doing it responsibly. And it's been a really big piece for us to, you know, to check in with people. And we find a lot of people that are coming, you know, already have plans themselves of how they're going to dispose of waste, how they're going to, you know, look after our environment. And it's been a critical piece. And it's something that we coach them in a sense that it's not okay to just, you know, leave things laying around. It's not okay to, you know, start a fire when you shouldn't be starting a fire. And how to just really how to act responsibly in the environment.
I guess maybe you're at the forefront, you know, part of us, part of our mandate is to, you know, raise the awareness of the blue economy and let people know what it's about. You're there doing this on the ground with, you know, tourists and visitors coming. What are some of the lessons you've learned from those tourists and visitors about, you know, is there something that's new to them? Is it something that's they've not been aware of, you know, through this sort of talking and education? What are some of the interesting sort of tidbits from that?
I think it's more of they're just overwhelmed at how this can all happen. It's funny because they come on the boat and they're looking around and they're just like, wow, this is so cool. This is so unique. And, you know, and then we start talking about the history of the vessel and we start talking about, you know, what's happening around us. And it's been incredible to see people's reactions and how it impacts them. And how it impacts them back in their culture.
Yeah, and the difference between how we use the environment versus how they.
And our idea, we had a mission statement of to see the world through other people. And that was happening from almost the minute that we opened. And then we've also been educated from the other side of the world as well about some of their initiatives and how they're going about, you know, clean energy, clean water, and all the different way of, you know, and harvesting from the sea in a responsible way. Yeah. And that's, you know, talking about that too, like our local fishery that's all around us. And last night they were fishing, night before they were fishing all night. And, you know, the buyers are there buying the fish. And, you know, everybody's doing it responsibly. Nobody's fishing outside of the boundaries. Nobody's fishing outside of the rules. The First Nations that are all around us in their territory, this is their territory. They're doing everything responsibly, and they're setting the example actually of how to conduct themselves on the water.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. In your minds, how well are we doing? I mean, you get to hear about what other countries are doing and what other people are experiencing. Are they taken aback on how fantastic things are working, or what's the feedback there?
Yeah, I think they're more taken back how fantastic things are working. Yeah, we're very organized, and you know, a lot of countries, you know, their oceans have been fished out, and it's been a big problem. And, you know, they're not giving this, the ocean time to recover. And they're seeing us in action here doing exactly what we say we're going to do, which I think is huge. It's a huge thing.
So I'm going to bring it back now to the swept away in. What are the plans? I mean, you've been through a pandemic. What are the plans? Is it for growth? Is it for three more boats? Is it what are the plans specifically for the swept away in? And you can sort of throw us the plug for the new restaurant as well.
So one of our ideas was to expand the restaurant side of our business. We were just so much demand for the food that, you know, Boucher's creating, that we're creating on the boat. And we have this opportunity to purchase a restaurant just 2.5 blocks up the road, which allows us now to send guests from the boat up to the restaurant for the same food experience. So that's kind of been our direction going forward, is continue with the bed and breakfast, but move the food and the dinners up to the restaurant.
And then for the boat itself, any major plans there if you want to change things?
No, we don't really want to change things. I mean, we've looked at maybe buying bigger vessels yet, and perhaps having, you know, a larger offering of accommodation. It's very doable. The relationship that we have with the Port Authority is excellent, so that we could, you know, put a larger vessel in if we wanted to, and you know, give even more of what we've been doing.
Is it, and again, maybe a little bit on the spot, but, you know, there's no right or wrong answer here. Is there value in doing this for future for others? And I'm not trying to encourage competition here, but I'm just saying repurposing vessels, it's obviously a painstaking process and you guys have made a success out of it. Is that a realistic business opportunity for people to repurpose these vessels and put them in as an accommodation site?
Totally see it as the future. I mean, this is our 10th anniversary. So we've been able to do it for 10 years, and I think that you're going to see in the future, I think you're going to see, you know, accommodation boats that more cater to maybe seniors or assisted living, you know, and set up in a way that will allow people, you know, again, to have a smaller footprint on the planet and do it in a space where they can provide more services, kind of like almost like a senior's home, but have it be a floating vessel that's been repurposed.
Because there's an example, I think, on the Sunshine Coast here in BC of an old cruise ship being used for a construction camp, I think. So we are starting to see that a little bit in these waters. And are there any other examples around the world of this happening?
Well, I know in Holland, for instance, you know, so many people are living on boats. So many people, it's part of their lifestyle there. And then you're just seeing vessels all over the place. And, you know, Viking Cruises is taking, you know, you up this really long, beautiful, flat boat, and you're going, you know, exceptional dinners, and you're seeing exceptional sights. And I think you'll see even more of that on the West Coast here, because we have such natural raw beauty. It's, you know, almost untapped. And I think that you'll see that this will become maybe even powered by electric or powered by another source, solar, as opposed to, you know, the diesel and pumping the fuel through these vessels.
And you touched on there, Daniel, about what we would call sustainability, you know, electrification, you know, not going maybe down the traditional routes. And, you know, we're not trying to say, you know, let's put boats everywhere and have people living on boats and dumping stuff into the water, etc. So the sustainability and sustainable tourism, I think, is a key point here. And I just wanted to know what you think the role of this sort of sustainable tourism will have in the coming years for BC and also the world.
I think it's the total direction things are going. Much like digital advertising did to static advertising, I think you're going to see the same kind of thing happen, in the future for the same reasons.
And do you think bringing that to more the blue economy then, is the idea of the sustainable blue economy and the sustainable tourism around the blue economy, is there a key opportunity there that we should be focusing on in this coast, and what do you think that could be?
Yeah, I think it's more water related. And I think you might see things in the future where people are coming to participate in maybe harvesting kelp or participate in, you know, maybe going out to an oyster farm, or, you know, for the experience of the of exactly doing that, where you can't do that anywhere else. And, you know, or maybe we started here on the West Coast, where, you know, we get people involved in doing these kind of things.
So you get to see a lot of this. You're in one of the most beautiful places of the world, in the Port Alberni and the Alberni Inlet there. There's lots of activity happening. From your perspective, what are the most exciting emerging practices that you've seen in the blue economy that sort of you think will be the takeoff point?
Well, I think in Port Alberni, because we have facilities set up for harvesting, you know, in particular seaweed, mm-hmm. from the water, and maybe even to some way of generating energy through the waves. But I certainly, you know, Port Alberni is happening all around us, and we have this the food hub, where, you know, there's four or five, you know, there's a mushroom forager, there's an oyster farm, there's salmon, smoked salmon being made there. So it's happening. The processing is happening, and it's coming out of the water, but it's being done in a responsible way. And I think you're going to see that continue. Less focus on the fish and maybe more focus on other parts that the ocean offers.
And I think then that drives flow-on effects, right? So, you know, the more industry or the more operations or the more processing that happens there, the more people, then leading back towards, you know, attracting people from a tourism perspective. So I think it becomes almost that circular type approach, that rising tide floats all boats approach.
Exactly. And it's like nutrition is, you know, in the ocean is incredible. And it's not, it's we're just scratching the surface with the fish. I think that there's so much more abundant, you know, things going on, variety of things to look at in the ocean that will sustain us as humans for a very long time.
So returning back to the Swept Away Win and the reason for this podcast, What are your 5-year vision for the Swept Away Inn, and extend that to your operations as well with the restaurant?
I think the vision is to continue doing what we're doing. I think we're at the point of deciding, do we want to expand or do we want to stay still? The idea of expanding into the restaurant was to expand the culinary side of our business, but the bed and breakfast side of our business, I think there's a lot more that could be done there. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of, again, sourcing the right type of vessel, finding something that's affordable, maintaining an older wooden tugboat. You know, it doesn't come without cost. So it's something we're conscious of and something that we always are having to maintain. We'd love to get into one of the Heritage Society, maybe designations that could maybe help do some funding, mm-hmm. Not just for our vessel, but for other vessels that, you know, could be salvaged or could be repurposed. Think that would be a great initiative as well.
And as of now, I mean, how's business? You know, how's reservations looking for the future? Like, if someone wanted to come and stay, you know, what are they looking at next year? Or
yeah, we pretty much sell out a year in advance. So it's we had a little hiccup with COVID, but even through the end of 2020 and 2021, we still were, we survived, which was great. But we're back to the numbers of old, where we're full every night. A little bit of open nights on the shoulder seasons, but it's something that we're well known around the world already. Mm-hmm. We're well known in countries, especially countries like Germany and Switzerland. I think maybe 70% of our guests come from just those two countries alone. So it's amazing.
How many local? When I say local, BC-based people, do you see? Is it a smaller percentage?
Yeah, so what was interesting, so before COVID, we were like 98% from outside of North America, mm-hmm. and maybe 2%, couples from the States, the Western mm-hmm. Seaboard. But since COVID happened, we had to go 100% to Canadian. Mm. So that was a unique switch we kind of said to ourselves, gee, nobody knows who we are in Canada. So, how are we going to go about marketing? Mm. And it was so interesting. We had this fellow come in. His name is Michael Downey from Downey Live. You can check him out on YouTube. He's a YouTube blogger. And he happened to be a first guest. Him and a friend showed up. And he did a YouTube video on our business on the Swept Away Inn. And it went viral. Mm. And we got hundreds and hundreds of bookings right away from that aired. So it just took something like that, and then everybody else suddenly in Canada is like, oh, I can do that too. And it was magical. We ended up selling out the whole season when we didn't think we were going to be able to.
And is that mix now sort of balanced out a little bit? So your visitors or your people that stay there, is it a bit more of balance between North American / Canadian and the rest of the world?
Yeah, now it's probably between Canada and U.S. It's probably about 50% coming from there and 50% coming from Europe.
Well, I mean, I think it's fantastic because pretty much I should have you on payroll because, you know, this is you're raising the awareness of the blue economy and that's what Coast's mandate is all about. So it's a fantastic story. I loved hearing about it. I loved meeting you both at our networking event. I think the idea of repurposing these vessels is a little bit out of the box, but you guys have done an incredible job and obviously it's growing and kudos to you both.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been, you know, it's something that I could write a book about every summer, what happens on the tug, because there's so much interaction with guests at so many topics at so many levels, and we're all sitting around the same table having this amazing conversation, and I just wish everybody could experience it because it is altering what it is to come to an accommodation, and people tell us that every single day. Wow, what an experience. Like, I couldn't have imagined it was going to be this good. You know, and it always exceeds their expectations because they're getting something they can't find anymore.
Yeah, it's returning to that whole accommodation as an experience rather than just a place to sleep. And I think it's fantastic because it's about the blue economy and they're on the water in one of the most spectacular places of the world.
Exactly, yeah. And the view is amazing.
Yes, I can testify to that. So, Daniel and Bushra, thank you so much for your time. It's been a slight different podcast for us, but it also demonstrates, you know, how wide the blue economy can be and what the opportunities are there for people to make a successful business out of something that people wouldn't even normally think about. So I appreciate your time. I look forward to seeing you very soon. And thanks again for being part of our podcast today.
Okay. Well, we thank you very much for having us and, happy to be part of this and happy and actually really thrilled at what you guys do as well. So thank you.
Thanks, Daniel. And thanks to our listeners for joining us on Coast Talks. If you'd like to learn more about our work, visit our website at canadacoast.ca or follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Bye for now.